Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his own sweet song. Wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, love and be happy. What if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours.
Nice 28 game unbeaten run you've got there, Luton. Be a shame, wouldn't it, if somebody were to end it? Oh, yeah. Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. Coming to you live here on Maritime Radio. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me here in the studio at the Valley as we get ready to look back at what was quite an impressive 3-1 win over the league leaders Luton Town. Their 28 game unbeaten run is over. Joining us here, Mr. Terry Smith, Ed Intel.
Evening all.
Are you well?
Yes.
You're looking well.
That's very kind of you.
You're looking like a man who didn't have to walk 9 miles yesterday.
I nearly, in my condition. 9 yards is the same as nine miles.
Yeah, and I mean, anyone could guess what condition you're talking about there. So many to choose from. And joining the pair of us here in SC7 is Mr. Nathan Muller. How you doing, Nath?
Yeah, good.
He looks like he's walked 9 miles.
You look like you walked 9 miles and then drunk
9 miles
and
of beer.
And then had to run back again.
Yeah. Yard of ale, but 9 times. Yeah. 9 yards.
Yeah, I had a couple of cans last night.
You were on the gin?
Yeah, and after. I had beer, rum, gin. Yeah,
in the same glass, by the looks of it.
Yeah, no. Yeah, and then he did the walk and came to the game, and then he went out after. Right, on tonight's show, we're going to look back at that spectacular 3-1 win over Luton Town here at the Valley yesterday, a win that puts us to within 3 points of the top two. It's tantalising. We're getting close as the season comes to a close. We're going to hear the highlights from Valley Pass. We're going to hear, of course, our exclusive interview with the Addicts boss, Lee Bowyer, and we also want to hear from you guys as well. You can have your say on yesterday's win. Let us know if you think that we are going to get in that top two, because I think we asked it more in hope than expectation maybe a few weeks ago, but now we're asking it because we've got a real, real chance. So let us know, studio@charltonlive.co.uk on the email. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can also have your say on the Charlton Life forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show. And of course, later on during the show, as we sort of half mentioned, it was the Upbeats Walk yesterday, one of the highlights of the Charlton calendar, put on, of course, by the Community Trust. And then we saw the Upbeats play a couple of games as well. So we're going to hear our diary of the Upbeats Walk as well. We'll talk about that, of course. We'll talk about Lee Bowyer's contract situation, player of the year, perhaps season ticket prices, anything you want to talk about, anything you want to have your say on, you know how to do it. The methods I said earlier. So, Terry, just before we hear the highlights, I mean, we were 1-0 down at half time, but we played quite well. We'd hit the bar. Luton had had their chances as well, to be fair, but in the second half, they did not have a sniff. That was one of the best second half performances we've seen from a Charlton side in years and years and years.
No question about it. It was an epic second half. And I think, and we'll hear a bit of it later, so I don't want to preempt Lee Bowyer's interview, but what I think is the most impressive about Lee Bowyer and Johnny Jackson and the team generally behind the scenes is that, you know, for the first, probably, oh yes, we had our chances, but we didn't look like controlling that midfield in that first half. Luton are a good side, they're not top for no reason. So, you know, they seem to pick up all the loose balls in midfield, they seem to control it, as I said, and something had to change, and whilst the rest of us probably, well, certainly me, are thinking, right, who can we bring on that can change the way this midfield's going? Because if we don't get on top of this midfield, we're not going to win. But Lee Bowyer's got, you know, he's a bit more simplistic than that, I'll rephrase that. He's cleverer than that, and he's certainly cleverer than me because he didn't think about personnel changes. He just told the people out there to do something different. And they did, and we just bossed it that second half.
I mean, how enjoyable was that moment when the third goal went in, just 2 minutes after the second goal,
yeah,
to give us that daylight? And I mean, it was just a brilliant moment. It's one of those valley moments in front of the covered end that you're never going to forget.
Yeah, I think Igor's second one, I went mental for just because it was Igor. Mm. And I think it was just a massive weight off everyone's shoulders, including themselves. But yeah, the third one, because I don't think I even got over the fact that we were winning 2-1. So I'm still in, like, thinking, is this actually happening against top of the league? And then all of a sudden we go 3-up and I'm like, I can't cope with this. Limbs are going everywhere.
You know what it is, I think, because when the second goal goes in Igor, especially on commentary, I'm explaining it. I'm doing the commentary as you should. When the third one goes in, I'm just screaming.
Yeah.
That's it. Because as you said, I'm still on the buzz from the second goal. Yeah. So within 2 minutes we get the third one, and what a goal it was, by the way. Mm. And I just screamed.
There's some great videos going around on social media as well, because obviously the crowd were up after the second goal. And so there's quite a few people who wanted to film the covered end singing along, and the East and West stands as well. And just because they've all got their phones out at that time, there's two or three brilliant videos going around on social media of Taylor's goal and the reaction after that as well. Right, we're going to hear the highlights now. Don't forget, as I said, you can have your say on the performance and where you think we will end up this season. Just a quick note, RE, the highlights, because everyone was so excited getting their phones out after the second, where I record the audio in the stadium via my phone internet, everyone getting on their phone lost me the audio just after Igor scored. So unfortunately we missed out Terry's commentary on the third goal, and
or fortunately, whichever way you look at it.
Well, yeah, we had to do this earlier on in the season when Phil Parry was here, but it's absolutely seamless. You won't notice, but at one point we changed to a completely different commentator throughout the game. So let's have a listen back to the highlights of yesterday's game against Luton Town. Your commentators are Terry Smith, Greg Stubley, and also me.
Back to the halfway line and then left to Purrington. Little ball upfield to Vetticali, and he's just got past his man momentarily. Tries to send Taylor through into the penalty area. Takes the shot. Oh, and it's scuffed slightly in the way left and behind for a goal kick. But the first attack in anger for the Addicts. Thrown into Taylor. It's been manhandled, but Taylor rides it. Chip ball into the box. Vetticali. Oh, he can't quite get there. It's headed away by Stacey. Williams comes back to collect it for Charlton. Heads it back to Billick. Billick right to Chris Solly. Chris Solly with Cullen inside of him. Cullen looks up. Finds Billick to his left. Central position, Christian Billick. Little 1-2 with Williams, and then releases Taylor in the penalty area. Solly on the overlap. Solly drills it into the box. Oh, and it's cleared away by a white shirt. Didn't see who got the head up. Charlton pressing into the centre circle. Billick looks left. Purrington out there. But it's a hospital ball, really. But Purrington makes the most of it. It needs Mpenza to come in and stop him from progressing any further. And actually, the ball out is a good one, and it's found Lee inside to Mpenza. Mpenza on the run up against Bauer to his right. It's a shot, and it's in. The first goal from Cornick, who appeared on the right-hand side. The left as Charlton defend, unmarked, and Charlton undone on the break.
Yes, poor defending from the Addicts. Really poor defending. think Mpenza, the central midfielder, allowed Mpanzu, should I say, allowed to run with the ball forward, and Charlton would just go out. Patrick Bauer had to commit, and there's a lovely ball through to Cornick, who finished superbly.
Stacey, outside of him is Lee. On the overlap is Shinny, that cuts inside instead, goes to Moncur, little chip ball, lovely save, from Dylan Phillips. Across to the left-hand side, it was going in the top left-hand corner. I don't know if they took a deflection on the Moncur shot, and it needed the outstretched hands of Dylan Phillips to keep it out, but it's a corner.
A little bit Shinny looking for an outlet, and Charlton forced them all the way back to Pearson. Passes to Shinny again. Good pressure from Charlton. And Pearson slipped, and it sent Fetekele away on the left-hand side. Fetekele taking on Bradley towards the edge of the penalty area. Fetekele still. Ball inside towards Taylor. Taylor with a shot! Oh, ball! Surely it's been held back there. And Luton cleared away. And as far as Aribo. Out on the left-hand side is Williams, who turns. Looks for an option. Williams still with the ball. He's got Perrington on the overlap. Tries to find him. Perrington, ball in the box, comes away with Fetekele. Won't fall for Aribo. And Luton just about clear. Phillips looks at the quick release towards Fetekele. And he's sending through. Can Fetekele get the first?
They
take it out by the goalkeeper. Has it gone in? It's gone wide.
Oh, he's got
the goalkeeper.
He's got a go.
It's a yellow card.
Oh, is that not a red?
That has to be a red card. Fetekele taken out by the goalkeeper.
Is that not red?
Taken out. Fetekele chipped it over, just went wide. But the goalkeeper staying on the pitch, and Charlton only have a free kick.
Surely that has to be a red.
Williams brings the ball forward to Aribo, and there is half-time whistle as Luton go ahead, go into the break with a one-goal lead. And now back to McCurr. Good challenge from Bielik, and Charlton play on here as Bielik beats a man. It's got Williams to his left, Vetekele to his right, still with it Bielik. The reverse ball looks for Williams. He's checked in the box. Surely referee hasn't given it, and again Charlton look like they've been undone by a decision as Luton play on. Charlton with the throw, Solly to take, adjacent to the penalty area to Cullen. Solly back to Cullen again. Cullen chip ball forward towards Taylor. Taylor chipped
it,
and that's a penalty.
Oh.
One of the softest penalties you'll see this season. Chip ball forward going out of play. Oh. And Bradley had judged to have tripped Taylor out of all of the decisions that haven't happened to Charlton. And this one has. And I'm a little bit confused why, but Charlton have a penalty.
Well, we do know that there's a panel that sits on all penalties. And decides whether or not it was a genuine penalty or not, and whether the person has, how can we say it, the player has
well, I don't think
created
he's,
its own penalty, shall we say.
I don't think he's died. I think he slipped. Taylor didn't even appeal. But Taylor has the penalty.
But you're right. I mean, of all the decisions the referee's got wrong.
And Taylor with a glorious opportunity here with the penalty.
That might be another one.
53 minutes played. Can Lyle Taylor equalise for the Addicts? He's the man over it, waiting for the referee's whistle. Lyle Taylor steps up, walks slowly towards the penalty area, towards the penalty spot. Taylor to take.
Charlton
equalise! Lyle Taylor with the 20th of his season! What a season for that man! And Charlton a level! Get in!
Cool as you like, Lyle Taylor. He walked up towards the penalty spot. He was asking the goalkeeper to make a decision one way or the other, and then calmly slotted it to the keeper's right as he went left. And Charlton are back in the hunt for the top two.
He's given the ball away, and Aribo has the ball now for Charlton, and Aribo can break. Charlton have got men over. It's 4-3-3 at the moment. Aribo takes it past his man. He's been forced quite wide. Luton getting bodies back. Aribo still comes to Cullen inside the penalty area. Goes to goal. Fetekele! Inches wide with the header. So unlucky. Charlton inches from going ahead.
Patrick Bauer over halfway. Little ball trying to find Igor Fetekele, but he can't. And Luton clear up. It's good work from Christian Bennett to pick it up for Charlton. And he's attacking the edge of the penalty area. Trying to slot in front of Fetekele.
Yes!
Igor Fetekele has given Charlton the lead. Fantastic work from Christian Bennett. Interception just inside the centre circle. Run to the edge of the D in the penalty area. Slipped in Igor Fetekele.
And it's going to break for Fetekele again. In the area. Cross ball to Taylor! It's 3-1 and Charlton are running away with it here at the Valley. It's Luton Town trailing by 3-1. Their 28th game unbeaten run is going to end here.
Cummings, he loses out to Bauer again and finds Williams. Oh, he's taken out by Shinny.
That's the second yellow, surely there.
And he Shinny's takes the yellow and he's away.
Well played, Johnny Williams. Fantastic control to take it past him. It's a swipe from Shinny. It's a
the
terrible
referee's
challenge.
About an hour and a quarter late and sending and using his red card, but he gets there eventually. Free kick, and he, well, it was by the corner flag, isn't it? About 10 yards further out. But who cares, because that's the final whistle.
Get in there, come on!
Charlton have dispatched the table toppers here at the Valley.
Here we go, the highlights of yesterday's 3-1 win over Luton Town here at the Valley. It's impressive, isn't it, that one of the best results of the season, one of the greatest afternoons of the season, Terry can still find time to have a go at the referee when he's given a decision in Charlton's favour as well.
I've got to go now anyway, because I've got to go to the doctors. I don't know if you noticed, I sounded awful for a bit there.
Your voice went really
it went horrible, didn't it?
Oh dear.
Sounded like that checked out.
If anything, it sounded like you'd... what's the opposite of aged? Yeah. you found the fountain of youth. Sorry about that. Some exciting news, actually, I forgot to mention. For the first time, we are now going out on 96.5 FM Maritime Radio, our host station, are starting up properly again next week. So as a test, we're out on 96.5 FM. So if anyone's in the area, dial into 96.5 FM Maritime Radio. You'll be able to hear us right now.
So absolutely no swearing. No.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, Ofcom have got their eye on you now if they heard about you.
Right,
3 points off the second position in that table, Terry. There's games in hands for Portsmouth and for Sunderland above us. They've got to play each other, though, of course. There's probably an easy-ish run-in for Barnsley, but they have stuttered recently. Portsmouth are the team that won, as well as us, won their last five. Are we going to do it?
Well, I know. Look, we've been clutching at straws for a few weeks now, but those straws have got bigger, haven't they? Barnsley have got to play Plymouth, I think. Portsmouth have got to play Burton away and Coventry, who have just turned over Sunderland. Yep. And then Sunderland have got to play Portsmouth. So,
and Donny and Peterborough.
And Donny and Peterborough. So, you know, obviously we've got to win every game. And actually, we thought that yesterday was going to be the biggest test of the run-in.
Walked it.
Well, yeah, agreed. But, we can't dismiss a team like Oxford, one, because of the manager they've got, and two, because they're actually one of the form sides of the division at the minute. So, you know, we've got to win every game, and then where that takes us will take us. But it's getting exciting, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, so you mentioned those fixtures. So Barnsley are at home to Shrewsbury next, which you'd fancy them to win. But Shrewsbury picked up a couple of results recently. Plymouth away, which, you know, we were there ourselves. It was a difficult game a couple of weeks ago. Blackpool at home. Blackpool, absolutely no mugs. And Bristol Rovers away on the final day of the season for Barnsley. Again, somewhere we went recently, and it was quite a difficult game. Obviously, the weather didn't help. Now, you're looking at Sunderland. They're one of the teams that have got a game in hand on us. They're at home to Doncaster, who are a tough nut to crack, as we saw at the Keep Mode.
Still need points to confirm sixth place.
Exactly. And then their next game is Peterborough, the other team who are desperately trying to catch up with that sixth place. Then they're at home to Portsmouth, away to Fleetwood, and, you know, they've got a fiery character as a manager, so they might be scared of that. And away to Southend on the final day. And now you're looking at Pompey. They're away to Burton. Burton have given a lot of teams a bloody nose recently. Coventry at home, they've just beaten Sunderland by 5-4. Sunderland away, as we know. Peterborough at home, that's a tough old game for Portsmouth. Accrington at home, I mean, they're rubbish. they might kick them off the pitch. Nath, there is a real, real chance we don't have to worry about the playoffs here.
Yeah, there is a real chance, but I think, like Bo says, as long as we just win our games, that's all we can do. Because what you don't do is, if we... not get complacent, but if we don't win our games and they do drop points, then it's going to be a bit of a waste, isn't it? So I think each of those teams will drop points, and I think it's probably just a case of whether or not we have the mental strength to keep doing what we're doing, keep strong and win all of the games, which we can win on paper. Friday, I think, will be the trickiest game out of the remaining four.
Yeah.
But yeah, anything can happen. So I mean, what I said before yesterday's game is we should just attack it, because we've got nothing to lose now. We've got the playoffs, so why not just have a go at every game?
Yeah.
Because we've got nothing to lose.
I think the only way we can be caught now by Peterborough is on goal difference. So it's not official that we've got the playoffs, because if they do make up the 15 points, then the likelihood is the goal difference of 8 would have been wiped out anyway. But we only need a point to get into the playoffs. So as you say, Nathan, there's absolutely nothing to lose for us now. We can go for it. And we can go for it, and we can attack teams. And I dare say Oxford will be an interesting game on Good Friday, because, I mean, he came here and he spoilt it, didn't he, Carl? And I've seen him do that away against bigger teams when he was with us. I remember we went to Wigan that time and drew 0-0 after Christmas a couple of years ago. Be interesting to see how he tries to do it at home, because, I mean, he does like attacking football, Carl Robinson. So if he comes out to play against us, then
and
we will
the
batter them.
They're on that winning streak. They're on that roll of decent form. So is he going to abandon that with the fans at home just to try and spoil the party. I'm not so sure. I don't think
that. I mean, they lost a point. They lost a couple of points, didn't they, against Wimbledon?
Yeah. Yeah.
And Carl Robinson was staying around on the side of the pitch yesterday looking for a fight.
Yeah, with a water boy.
Yeah. I saw what's he done with the water boy?
Yeah. Probably, he must have celebrated in front of him. I can imagine if you're in the opposite dugout to Carl Robinson and you score a last minute winner, it must be very tempting, or a last minute leveler to get in his face, because I imagine he's quite annoying. So the game yesterday, we made four changes going into it. We, obviously that's almost reversing what we had against Wickham, where we set up for a very different kind of game, a very battling, physical, ball in the air kind of game. Yesterday it was two teams who played some lovely stuff, and we started off well. I mean, the first minute we had that chance where the Taylor sort of dragged wide, and we were getting a couple of dangerous crosses into the box. And when Cornick scored for Luton, same as he did in the reverse fixture, it came against the run of play, really, didn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. But there were huge gaps in that midfield, which they exploited. We looked good going forward, we did. But we did look really susceptible to the break and to, you know, balls dropping in midfield we weren't picking up. So that was definitely a concern, because Dylan Phillips had to pull off an amazing save at 1-0, where it could have been a lot worse. And had that gone in, we probably wouldn't have come back. So it had to be changed at half-time, and clearly it did. And second half, it was one-way traffic pretty much. Wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, so as you say, after Cornick put the Hatters ahead, there was that brilliant save from George Moncur from Phillips. And then I think we looked a bit shell-shocked maybe after the goal, and we had 5-10 minutes where it took us a while to get back. But then we were sort of rejuvenated after that slip in the midfield where Igor took the ball under his control into the box, squared it for Taylor. We hit the bar, but after that we were back on it really, Nath. And then, I mean, controversial moment when Deal sent the long ball over the top and Igor was in on goal, and he got a shot away. The keeper, James Shea, has come out, wiped him out after the ball was gone, which, according to the referee now, means that it's no longer a goal-scoring opportunity, because at the time of kicking the ball, he did kick the ball cleanly. But if there's a six-foot goalkeeper bounding down on you, surely that's putting you off. And if he then goes on to make an illegal challenge, does that not affect the goal-scoring opportunity?
Well, so hang on. So the ref said because he already made the shot, it's not a foul.
Correct. Well, that's what the player seems to be implying afterwards.
The referee has said because he got the shot away on towards goal,
therefore
when the keeper actually took him out, it wasn't the goal-scoring opportunity.
So if someone goes to make a pass, they make the pass, and then someone claps you after,
It's not a red card, yeah.
See, if you had Chris Solly do that to someone, the same challenge, it'd be a red card. Well, that's what both of them.
I think as well, if they weren't Luton top of the table. You know, I mean, I know a lot of people say, oh, it doesn't matter whether you're top or bottom. But when you're bottom of the table, decisions like that will go against you. If that was anybody other than the top of the table team, I reckon there's a red card.
That was like a Walsall or something.
Yeah,
a bit of red,
all day long. And I think he bottled it.
So it was a strange decision. I mean, Cullen then wasted the free kick after. but I think we had a sort of a half chance just before the interval. Luton had a couple of good chances, one of which came from a horrible clearance from Dylan, which is not what we've been used to from him recently, because his kicking's got a little bit better. But I think twice actually he panicked yesterday with the ball at his feet, which was perhaps just showing maybe how we were a little bit shell shocked at half time. But start of that second half, we come out. There is that penalty shout again for Johnny Williams. He gets the wrong side of the defender, James Justin, I think it might have been, I can't remember. And he immediately, when he got onto the ball there, it was quite clear that he was playing for a foul. He was making the run that we, but I'm not saying you can't
across
do that,
the player, yeah, deliberately,
because I've seen a million players do that and get fouls as well. So I mean, it may have been soft, but were we hard done by there, and did that decision possibly play a part in the fact that we were then given one of the softest penalties you've ever seen?
I think the second part of that statement is correct. Yeah. I think the reason we got the third one, or that we got the penalty, is because he didn't give the penalty the first time around, and the potential sending off. Mm. I think he he might have got wrong. So I think those two added together gave us the penalty when we got it. Looking back at the time at full speed, I thought it was a penalty. Because Johnny Williams cut across the player, and it looked to me like the player just kept on going. Having seen it back, I can probably see why the referee didn't give it, actually.
Yeah, but then
there was enough contact.
The one that was given, Nath, it was like throw and take, and ended up with Cullen lofted it into the area. Taylor invited to go down by the fact there's someone nearby. Mm. I mean, if that was given against us, I'd be unhappy. I've only sort of seen it back once, and it's sort of, there's contact, but I'm not sure if that's enough contact. But is it by the letter of the law? Is it a penalty?
Well, I mean, if it is, then, and we're talking about consistency, then you're probably going to give about three or four penalties a game, because it's a contact sport. It's not like you know, it's not like he threw him to the ground or anything, and it was really soft. But yeah, like you say, I would have been absolutely seething if it did go against us, but it didn't, and I was delighted.
Mini rant here.
Oh, here we go.
Yeah, I was just... Well, Lyle Taylor had been pretty much pulled apart up to that point. So, what, we scored it in 53rd minute. Up to that point, he'd been kicked, pushed, lent on, dropped to the floor on numerous occasions. Like, oh, actually, not dropped to the floor, because he didn't... Very rarely did he go over.
It's every game he gets out
of course.
Well,
but the problem is, and this is what I'm coming to, is that Lyle Taylor feels the contact in the penalty area. And there is, because I've seen it back. The guy wraps his arms around him first. So he's right behind him. Maybe a slight nudge, but nothing. Look, not enough to knock you over. Absolutely not. But how many times do we see that now? And what happens is, if you look at any game, and the Liverpool game today was a classic example, certainly the first half, you know, somebody stays on their feet. Even though they're fouled, they don't get a free kick. They just don't. You can kick somebody, if they stay on their feet, the referee don't give it. If you go over, more likely the referee is going to give it. So referees are now, judging, if you judge the amount of fouls that Taylor gets against him and he doesn't go over, so he doesn't get the free kicks, you're going to blame him then for actually going over when he feels contact, because he knows if he stays on his feet, he's not going to get the foul.
Yeah.
So he goes over, and that's the same with most players now. They feel they have to go over in order to get a decision, because otherwise the referees don't give them.
It's funny, isn't it, the different contexts in which that level of contact might come as well, because if that same amount of touching, pulling, whatever you want to call it, came when a corner was coming over in the 6 yard box, I'd be screaming for a penalty because Taylor would be in the air, he'd be unbalanced. So it's interesting how it works. But the penalty itself, I mean, I love Lyle Taylor. He's one of my favourites. I think he's my favourite striker down here since Jan and obviously Simon Church. But he's one of my favourite players. But if we get to the playoff final and there's a penalty shootout and he dares do that run up, I swear to God I will kill him. Because I mean, it's great when it goes
We've
in.
Been through that. So, anybody who was at the last one, Sean Newton. That's all I'm saying.
Just when you've got a penalty, you're so nervous that they're not going to score. You just want it to be over and done with as soon as possible. And Lyle's strolling up like it's like he's got all the time in the world. He's like, oh, please just do it, Lyle. But I mean, it's cool. It's mind games, and it works because he's done it twice now and he scored both of them, Nath.
Yeah, and it just shows his confidence in it. Could be worse. I mean, who's that player in the world that? World Cup that done it.
Oh, the Italian.
That's Zaza. Yeah, that's how not to do it. But,
probably, I mean, that's the problem. All it takes is for a keeper not to dive one way or the other, and you look a complete.
See, if you stepped on and done a Rabona and it went in top bins, it's like, amazing. But if you miss, you look like a bit of a plum, don't you? But no, I said to you off air, like I nearly had to turn away when he started doing this silly run. I was like, I can't do it.
He did the same in the last penalty as well, I think. Yeah. He did the whole walk.
Yeah,
thing.
against Burton Albion, wasn't it? Yeah, so
he goes in, so that's all that matters,
yeah,
I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a pressure penalty as well. That's the thing. I think it is a pressure penalty. It's you're 1-0 down against the top of the league team. This is your chance to get back into it. It's all mind games. It's him showing, you know what? I'm not nervous, goalkeeper. I'm going to make you nervous. I'm going to make you make a decision earlier than what you wanted to by doing a ridiculous run up. But there we go. Moments later, we had that chance and we heard it on the commentary highlights. There was a brilliant driving run forward from Joe Aribo. Cullen took over, whipped in a... I don't know if it was a shot or a cross, because he curled it. I think it was a vicious, fizzing cross towards the far post. Did you?
Yeah, I thought it was
but
a
either
shot.
Way, Igor had to adjust. He got his head onto it. Might have done slightly better, but it was so close. And if you're looking at a chance like that, and I was remembering the Sunderland game where I think Cullen had quite a good chance after it had gone to 1-1, and you're thinking, I hope we don't live to rue that, because you don't always get many chances against teams.
Problem
like
with that, though, Louise, when you're a striker, and I think Igor thinks that that's a shot as well. So he doesn't know whether that's on target or not. So if he thinks, if I make too much contact here, it's going to go to the keeper. So the best thing I can do is just give it a little flick. And if it's going in, it's going to just sneak in the corner anyway. So it's caught between two stools. I think, you know, if too much contact and he's going to get killed for stopping a goal-bound shot. Do you know what I mean? So, and it's a bit instinct as well. So, yeah, I think he'll probably replay that and think he should have done better.
But I won't moan too much about him because, he played really, really well yesterday. When he went off, I put on Twitter, that's the Igor of old we've seen yesterday. And we've seen it building up over the last few weeks, but I love the finish for his goal. I mean, his goal wasn't all about his finish, of course, because there was a brilliant driving run from Christian Billick in the build-up. I can't remember who had it before them as well. Was it Aribo, possibly? But there was a good move in the build-up. And Billick running at the edge. And Igor just made that run that we've seen him make so many times 4 years ago. and so many times over the last couple of weeks. It's just in between that was the problem. But I mean, it was a brilliant instinctive finish as well, and that was, I mean, it seems weird to say it about a striker, but that was a striker's finish. It was a glorious way to slide it beyond the goalkeeper.
Yeah, it was, and it, like I said, it was everyone's delight for Igor, but also for Christian, because Christian don't really venture forward that much, and I think a lot of people might underestimate how difficult how difficult that pass from Christian could be.
Yeah, especially when you've got testicles swollen up to the size of beach balls after the punishment those two bad boys have been through this season, kicked in them by that fan that ran on the attacking team. He got kicked in them twice yesterday.
Sounded like Christmas at one point, didn't it?
But yeah, like it's so easy to overcook or undercook that pass, and a great ball through, and it was obviously on Igor's weaker foot, but I just knew as soon as he got into that and he shaped up for it, I thought, if this goes in, it's going to be absolutely amazing. And literally, I ended up two rows in front. But yeah, like you said earlier, it seems like so long ago since that Brentford game, that away game, when we first saw him properly. And he's not really had a good time. So it's just a relief, and hopefully, like, for the rest of the remaining four, this is what we're going to see.
Well, Louis, right, there's been signs, haven't there? I mean, against Wickham and previous games as well. There was one, I think, yesterday where he heads it on himself and chases it himself and gets on the end of it. And you think, this is it, this is the one. And the ball just doesn't sit quick enough and gives the time the defender to get back and make a change. So, you know, there were signs, and you're thinking, oh, is it just because he's delaying too much because it's not quite there? And then yesterday, classic Eagle.
And I tell you what, I'm so excited for the rest of the season now. And if it is the playoffs, you know, it's another 6-7 games, because that will do him the world of good. I mean, he came in to chat with us yesterday after the game, which you'll be able to read in the South London Press tomorrow. And he was happy. You could see he was happy. We spoke to him a couple of times this season, but that's the happiest I've seen him. And I think that's quite important. Bit of luck in the way it came to him for the third goal, Igor. But what a brilliant cross for Taylor. And that weren't an easy finish as well. But I mean, Igor had to measure that cross. We love the phrase here, but it's the corridor of uncertainty. But the defender could not do any. I felt so sorry for that defender, because he had absolutely nothing he could do about that.
Did you really feel sorry for him?
No, I didn't care. I did not care one bit. I'd happily have it happen to him again.
I think, as I said before, everybody was already up from that Igor goal. So everybody was already on a plateau of ecstasy. And then the build-up to that goal, more often than not, especially this last couple of seasons, when we go in for a challenge, there's a loose ball and it almost certainly goes off for a throw or straight to one of their players. We never seem to get that sort of ricocheted luck. Whereas yesterday, and all the endeavours of Johnny Williams paid off, because, and I thought he had a great game yesterday, Johnny Williams, he went in for that challenge, it came off his back or his shoulder blade or something, but he was the one that actually put the challenge in and created the space or the ball forward for Igor to run onto, purely because of his endeavour, and it actually ran our way. And then Igor, swift again, speed that we know he's got, that we weren't sure he still had, got across, what a ball across. But even then you think, oh, it's too high. Oh, and Lyle Taylor's not close enough to get his head to it. And I don't know quite how you describe that effort, because it's not really a flying
side foot or something. It was a brilliant finish. And unbelievable. The valley in absolute raptures. Also, there's some great videos of it going around on social media of people who are filming the crowd singing and then got the goal. There's two or three really good ones out there.
Although we shouldn't be condoning that, because it dropped our recording.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So it cost us big time. So don't do it again, people. But yeah, a brilliant moment, and enjoyed it very much. And then after that, I mean, it was pretty kind. Luton made a couple of subs, but I think it was a bit too late, really. We bought on the likes of Lapsley came on, I think, after that as well, and we just saw it out. Obviously, the red card to Andrew Shinney for a second yellow. When that happens as well, that's just sort of, all right, well, everything's sorted now. A few minutes of added time, and then the celebrations can begin. What a celebration it was behind. I mean, I've said it loads of times as well, but there's no place quite like the Valley is there when we've won at home, any game really. But when it's a game like yesterday, and there's this tsunami of positive feeling about the team that's going onto the field of play and the management team, and it's one of those moments where you forget that this time, as soon as the summer happens, things could go horribly wrong. But at the moment, people don't want to think about that, because we want to enjoy what's happening in front of us, and we deserve it.
Yeah, we've got to ride the crest of the wave, haven't we? Because we've had, our fair share of downs. So when there are up moments, you've got to.
And it ain't over yet. Yeah, that's the thing that's you've got to remember.
Because we are in a down. As a club, we are down.
There's so much uncertainty about what's going to happen next.
And have been in a fairly bad place for best part of 5 years. So, you know, something like this happening just shows. I think it's a release of emotion for anybody that comes. It's a release of emotion because of all the nonsense we've had to put up with as a club. The fact that we've got a management team and a set of players that we can believe in, which is proper Charlton, unlike elsewhere, then it just magnifies it. I think magnifies the emotions and yesterday as well. It wasn't just a case of winning in the last minute, so everybody's going mental because of a scuffed winner in when we haven't played very well. Wickham was a battle, so it's probably not fair. But Burton, I think, is probably an example of that. Yesterday was a combination of guts, determination, fight, and skill. And some good football as well against a top side. So, you know, we saw everything yesterday, and I think that's another reason why the reaction was there, because it was almost a perfect performance.
Almost a perfect performance. Lee Bowyer's coming up next here on Charlton Live, and just because I don't want you guys to feel too down, because when we talk about a game that we've just won, I mean, you can hear how delighted we are. I'm so pleased. In the Lee Bowyer interview, he uses a three-word phrase that Carol Fry used to describe a 4-0 defeat at Burnley. He says, "We were good."
We were good.
I mean, when you could, every time when we play, they play a bit of Bowyer on BBC Radio London. Every time, no matter what presenter is, someone goes, "Well, I think he's happier than he sounds," because he never sounds happy. But
I think,
Lee
Bowyer, I'm hoping you got it in there. But he said, "I think very early on, he goes, oh yeah, over the moon."
Yeah.
Well, you don't sound it.
Yeah. So let's hear it. I mean, this Lee Bowyer had he say. Don't forget, you can have yours as well. Email studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live. You can head over to the Charlton Live thread to have your say on tonight's show. Let us know if we are going up in that top two, because there's quite a few of us in this studio who think we've got a really good chance. Let us know if we're wrong or if we're right. Lee Bowyer is another one who thinks we've got a good chance. He came in to speak to Terry after yesterday's win, and despite what he says and what he sounds like, he is delighted with the 3 points.
Yeah, I'm over the moon. I think we deserved it. I thought from start to finish we was good. You got to remember who you're playing against. You're playing against a team that's top of the league, and we'll go up, by the way. They go up, and I've just seen why. Couldn't get my head round why they'd not been beaten in so long before today. And I've just witnessed why, because they're a very good side. We pressed them high and quick, and they just pass it around us at times, just like what we do to other teams. So I was like, okay, yeah, you're a good side. They create a lot of chances. Not today, but just in general, you can see the games I've been watching on the build-up for this. So they're a good side, and today I thought we thoroughly deserved the win. I thought first half we was better than them, but they went in one up. I thought was harsh, and second half I don't think they really had a shot. Really, I can't remember Dylan having a save to make. And I think the difference was our defenders. When we was attacking, our defenders were tight to the strikers, so they couldn't turn and hit us on the break. And that's what was letting us down in the first half. So we tightened up on the defensive side of things, and when we were attacking. And then all of a sudden they couldn't get out, really, and we was creating chance after chance, I thought.
First goal, when it came for them, pretty against the run of play, although they did look a little dangerous going forward, but on the break, did you feel the worst after a quarter of an hour? And it was a decent finish from the lad, but you know, after all the good play in the first quarter of an hour, undone by that, did you think, you know, they are a good side, and that's what they do to teams?
Yeah, that's what I witnessed, how they're winning games or not losing. But I still thought, well, we was getting into better areas and then more often, and we'd hit the bar after they'd scored, and I was thinking, like we're in this game, like they're no better than us. I honestly believed that the whole way through. And before we started, we played the game, I thought, I don't think they're better than us. Like, I honestly didn't. And it's no disrespect to them, because they're top of the league and they deserve to go up. But I thought we'd win the game. I honestly did. But we had to be at our best, and everybody had to work hard, stick together. move the ball quick, do what we're good at. And I knew we'd create chances against them, and we did. And thankfully, we took them.
Two huge moments in that first half after they'd scored. Firstly, as you said, Lyle Taylor hitting the crossbar. A lovely move to get to that position in the first place. You know, and it didn't quite work out for us. And then the the non-sending off, which perplexed most people, or certainly perplexed us on comms. Did you get any justification as to why that wasn't a red card from the officials?
Because the fourth official said that because Igor had got his shot off, then it's not a red card. But it's a reckless challenge. The goalie's out of control of his body. I've seen Naby Sarr get off, sent off in the first minute of a game for half of that. So it was a reckless challenge and he was in no control of what was going on in the goalie. He said, that's a red card, that's the rules. Whether you're an outfield player or a goalie, I think the only reason why he didn't is because he was a goalie. That's the only reason that I can think why he didn't send him off. Because if that had been anybody else making that challenge, it was that late and that high that the ball would like gone, it shot, and then it was just so late, it was unreal. So, yeah, anyone else would have been sent off, I think.
And possibly the reason it wasn't on target and because he got his shot away was because Eagle probably saw him coming, I suspect. So that surely had an influence in where the ball ended up.
Yeah, but the rules are like, you have to be in control of your body. Nah, there are no rules, and he was coming at 100 miles an hour to try and obviously get to the ball first and didn't make it, and he wasn't in control of his body. So, it should have been a red card.
Well, fortunately, it didn't punish us eventually, but again, in the early moments of the second half, Johnny Williams goes down. Again, from us, it looked like a penalty, not given, waved away. And again, at that time, you think, well, is anything going to go our way in the second half? But fortunately, on 70 minutes, Igor pops up in the... Igor pops up. And is that just reward for all the work Igor's put in over the last few weeks? He's put shifts in week after week. And again, even in the first half, you thought he had a chance that the ball just wouldn't sit for him.
No.
And you think it's not going to come, and then he, almost classic Igor Vetticoli, slips in that ball.
No. Yeah. I thought, like, obviously, we didn't get the Johnny Williams penalty. And then Lyle got the penalty, and which I thought was soft. So then once we levelled it, I said to him, half-time, once we score the next goal, we win the game. We're going to win the game. I knew that our fans would then... the place would erupt, and then we'd win. That's what we do when we play here, especially. So and then I was so happy for Igor because his performances have been getting better and better. His fitness, his sharpness. So I'm over the moon that he's got a goal, because if he can add to what Lowell's obviously doing, that's going to be a big bonus to us.
Do you think the timing of that penalty, quite close to the one that wasn't given? On 53, allowed us to get back in the game, because if it had gone much longer, if Luton had have stayed 1-0 up much longer, do you think it'd been much tougher to get back in with?
Yeah, I think we got that penalty because the other one should have been. I think that Johnny's was, for me, from where I was, looked a stone wall penalty, and Lyle's looked soft, but I think it's obviously evened itself out, thinking, well, maybe I've messed up there, but I can't do it again. So I think it evened itself out, and yeah, it was obviously a good time. And then, because then we had enough time to go on and win the game. But once we scored, that was it. They couldn't really get out. We pinned them in. Centre halves were in better starting positions, within every ball that they was clearing. And yeah, I thought we deserved to go and win the game like we did.
That 20-minute period after the equaliser, as you say, dominated Luton, and the goal from Igor when it came, just desserts. And then to then get the third 2 minutes after, again, lovely work down that left-hand side. And again, Igor this time with a supplier, and Lyle Taylor launching himself at the ball to meet it. Perfect goal.
Yeah, perfect. And it started from Johnny Williams.
Yep.
Johnny Williams shutting down the fullback, pressing high, pressing fast. And it bounces over the defender's head. Igor's running in. Great cross. Great movement from Lyle. So, it's hard work, you know. And that's what I demand from him. It's hard work. And then you get rewarded for it.
Valley was rocking.
Great to hear the Cover, well, the whole of the valley, not just Cover, in full voice. We're all going on a bit of a journey, it seems. After Bristol, the draw, you said that it's going to take 8 wins. We've got to win all 8. Well, we're 4 into it.
Yeah, and we're capable of winning the next 4. Well, I believe that. What I have in that dressing room is something unique, you know, and I said it from day one. Day one I've said it, that the togetherness and the fight that they have in there, and with the fans that we have. Like, this week has been amazing. Like, we went to Plymouth, which is like a million miles away, and the fans were unreal there. I got someone pulled me from their staff with a suit on, so it must have been high up. He said that your fans were, what was his words, were a credit to your club. He said, and you can see the players react towards the fans, which is a great thing for me to hear. And then we went to Wickham, another tough place, and completely different game. It was a fight, it was a dog fight, and you had to win and compete and battle, and we went and won that. And again, someone from their club said, these are the best fans that we've had here all season. But for me, it's great to see that they're enjoying it and loving it, and travelling everywhere to see the performance that we're putting on. And they appreciate, like, Tuesday would have meant just as much to them as today, because they see a different side. And I said, Tuesday's going to be a completely different game to today. It's a football match today. But we can do that also. And I think the fans, look like they loved it to me.
And the style of football to beat a Luton side that, as you said, are going up there. You know, one of the best sides we've played this season. Yeah. We've taken 4 points off them. So that the way we did it as well must give you great comfort. Give you must make please you enormously, because, as you said, we can do the hard stuff and then we can play football like that.
Yeah, and that's what you want, and that's what it comes down to, your squad and your recruitment is. Like, you can't just have everybody the same. You need your fighters, you need your footballers, you need your winners, your battlers, you need the ones that can finish, you need your providers, you need everything. And that's what putting a squad together is. It's like building a puzzle. And I think that we've done very well there. And if we'd have had a little bit more luck with regarding injuries, then who knows what could have happened this season. But for where we are now, I think it's outstanding. And to see how far that we've made everything so positive in a short space of time is great. And I'm just happy for everyone to do with the football club, because it's hard work. You know, everybody works hard. All my staff, everybody works hard. And the players work hard. And then you have the fans that appreciate it. So it's... they work hard, the fella with a drum. it's great. For me, the club's in a good position, and that's the most important thing for me.
Well, you said that 8 wins was possible. We've done 4. You said that top 2 was possible. And there were a few eyebrows raised when comments like that were made, but other teams are dropping points around us, both on Tuesday and again today. So there might be a few people after your lottery numbers if this keeps up.
Yeah, but you have to be a certain type of person to win things, and things play funny towards the end of seasons. It happens all the time, and it's not just like how good you are, it's your mental strength. Can you handle it mentally? And that's what's going to come into play, and as you can see now, and physically, because Sunderland's got to play so many games. It's good going on these cup runs, but you've got to play catch up on the games, and they're going to tire. But they've got a good squad. But there's no easy games in this league. Like Coventry, what sort of a game was that today? Was it 5-4?
5-4, yeah.
It's a crazy game. But this league is tough. Like, we've been to places and we didn't think we'd lose, and we have. So, but when it comes to the end of the season, when you need to win and the pressure, you have to. Some people can't handle that pressure, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But all we can do is concentrate on what we're doing. If we can go and win games, then if they want to hand it to us, then we'll take it.
Talking of the physicality, one, I suppose, negative is Christian Billick coming off again. This time, though, it looked like he got hit in a fairly sensitive area in the first half. And is that what finally did for him?
No, he got cramp. he likes getting cramped. He runs around a lot, doesn't he? So he's he's only got cramp. He'll be okay. She loves looking at us.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade. And she don't need no one else. She just want to get that shot. If I'm in or if I'm not, she doesn't care. She's in love.
And Williams exchange passes. Williams drifts past his man, born in the box. It's an awkward one. Taylor controls. Taylor trying to pass it back to Prattley. He strikes!
Oh, my word! Darren Prattley! What a strike from the Charlton midfielder on the edge of the box. Touchdown by Lyle Taylor. And Darren Prattley unleashes a hell of a strike past Arnold down to his left. Could do nothing about that one.
Carol, a heavy defeat at Burnley today. How do you sum that one up?
We were good.
Charlton Live.
There we go. Lee Bowyer after yesterday's 3-1 win over Luton Town here at the Valley. And also Carol Fry using exactly the same words to describe a 4-0 defeat at Burnley.
Seamless, that, wasn't it?
Yeah. No one will notice when I've edited that out in the podcast. Bowyer doesn't sound delighted ever, but he was over the moon yesterday, Nathan. And you can understand why. I mean, it's interesting he talks about the mentality, because we always say, you know, when he came in last year and we're 5 points off the playoffs and no one gave us a cat in hell's chance of getting into the playoffs, he always said we'd get in the playoffs, and now he's talking about winning all those games, and he's let us behind the curtain a little bit there. I mean, in terms of saying it is a mentality thing, is drilling that into his players, and he's going to make them believe that we can get those results to get us in the top two.
Yeah, and I think the mentality part is, we briefly spoke about it on Thursday in terms of the performance on Tuesday against Wickham, that sometimes it's not going to be pretty and you've just got to be strong mentally and grind out those results. But I mean, for me, for the last, I'd say like the last couple of seasons, the difference between this team is if we ever went 1-0 down, I never thought we'd come back. Whereas now, you know that Bowes will change it, and you know that these players will give it a go, and then I don't think it's ever over. I mean, the amount of last minute goals we've had this year is like insane, and that you can just tell that if we're in a game, there's always that chance. Whereas before, 1-0 down, you're thinking the best result you're going to get today, mate, is a 1-1. But mental strength's a big part of it, and I think these guys have got it in abundance for sure.
Christian Billick there saying he's got cramp.
Zach's getting cramp.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it wasn't the groinal injury I was worried about.
Either that, or he gets cramp in some very strange places.
obviously he's been in and out of the side with injuries over the last couple of weeks. When he's in the side, he's so important to us. So again, it'd be interesting to see. Now, whereas 2 weeks ago we were saying, oh, there's no point risking Billick because, you know, we need him for the playoffs. Now, there might be a reason to risk him because we've got a chance of getting the top two.
Maybe so, but then, you know, the next couple are going to be battles, and it's Friday, Monday. So they're in a fairly short space between each other. And a bit like the Wickham game, Bowyer and Jackson are not scared to change it up. So, Pierce came in, and I've got a sneaky suspicion he might come in for the Oxford game as well. Or either Oxford or Scunthorpe, because, you know, two games in a short space of time, he doesn't want to risk somebody like Christian Billick getting injured in one of those two games, so he's not here for the final three games. So, or even potentially the playoffs. So I think he won't be scared to change it up. And if he thinks Christian's got cramp or just got a little, you know, because cramp can turn into a hamstring pull or a calf pull. So not worth the risk. And we've got players who are capable. Cullen can step into that role. He's not, you know, Cullen's not, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but he doesn't have the ability to use the ball in the same way Christian Billick has, as was clearly evident yesterday. But in terms of defensive midfield player, he's still up there amongst one of the best I've seen. So I don't think we've got a problem.
Yeah, interesting actually that you mentioned the Jason Pearson Naby Sarr situation. That was actually quite a big talking point on Thursday's show about whether he'd be coming in, because obviously Pearce, he played so well at Wickham, scored a winning goal. But Sarr,
Nathan got it right.
Yes, you were expecting Sarr to come back in, were you?
I can't take the
win, Nathan. Just say yes.
Yeah. I thought I said Pearce.
You did.
Back.
That's why I said it.
Oh, did you? Oh, right. Get out, Nathan. I
can't remember. It's only Thursday.
But I mean, again, I wouldn't be. I agree with you. Actually, I wouldn't be shocked to see Pearcey come in Friday at Oxford United. And
Friday
then,
or Monday depends on the game they're expecting, I guess. If they're expecting a real battling one, then I've got a feeling.
I think Friday. Yeah. I think Friday. But anyway, we'll see. It could be both. Who knows? It could be neither. We could be looking stupid this time next week. Right. We've had plenty of tweets and emails. Plenty of you want to have your say on this evening's Charlton Live. It's not too late to do so. Email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum to have your say on to yesterday's game, and of course on the fact that we are within that reach, we're within reach of the top two as we go into the last few games of the season. Right, Connor Thompson, amazing second half yesterday. We shook them up, gutted our Mr. Vetticale's goal as I went for a wee. Dylan Phillips with another great performance, making some key saves. He's been unreal recently, and I agree with that. Tom Bramley says that second half was the best half of football I've seen from a football side in years, in a few years, from a Charlton side in a few years, not from a football side. He's probably watched Barcelona and stuff in that time. Igor was my man of the match. He ran his socks off all game and deservedly got his goal. Four more wins and we'll see where that leaves us in the table. Roll on, Oxford, coming your heads. Because that is the thing we do have to remember. We could win all four games 15-0 and still not finish in the top two.
Yeah, that's all we can do, isn't it? I mean, if we win all four games 15-0 and finish third, because for me, even if we do finish third, yeah, it'd be gutting, but at least we'll have the second leg at home. That's, I think, what we're playing for now as well, because I'd rather have that second leg at home at the Valley, especially if it's pumping like this.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. That is be interesting to see if that, I think, mentality wise, if that's important.
I think the only negative you could draw, I don't actually believe this, but you know, if you're going to take any negatives from it, if you put too much effort, a bit like last season, we put so much effort in getting into the playoffs. When we got there, you know, we'd shot a bolt and we looked really tired. So that'd be the only negative for me. But I think it's a big difference this time because we haven't got the injuries we had last season.
Yeah.
We've got players coming back. Potentially Forster Caskey could be back in the mix for the playoffs. So if we have to,
and we've got
go
more,
in there.
We've got a more potent goal threat exactly this year in terms of Lyle Taylor, yes, whereas last year we had a misfiring.
Yeah. So if you were going to clutch at negative straws, I think that'd be the only one that we'd run out of puff, but I can't see it. Not this time. Yeah.
Right, John tweets in saying, I thought yesterday was similar to the Sunderland home game. Once we got the measure of them, I thought we dominated by far. He said, by the by, I thought that Sunderland were better than Luton. Did you have a view on that?
I think Luton's probably, that first half, Luton's, in my opinion, is the best team that we've played in terms of, but I think we did help them in terms of us pressing, and if one person's off the press, then they just pick you off, and they did that a few times. But in terms of football, yeah, I would still say Luton were up there. Barnsley away, they were a good team. But yeah, Sunderland are a good side. They got a lot of decent players. You got McGeady, but for me, Luton is the best footballing side.
We just got a good tweet in from 100% Charlton. Yeah, I picked up on this in the interview with Bowyer as well. It says Bowyer saying the fans work hard, especially the bloke with the drum. I love listening to him. He's such a geezer. Actually, so Plymouth game last week. My dad came down to, he doesn't get to many away games these days, but we were having my brother's stag do down in Plymouth around the game, so he came to that. And he loved the atmosphere, but he said,
I was stood with my head at the same level and right by the drum. And he said he came out with a thumping head. But, you know, he loved it. And, yeah, the atmosphere at away games and at home games recently has been brilliant, which is great to see. Right, Cliff says, what a performance that was. When we play like that, no one can live with us. Luton are a very good side, but we just brushed them aside in the second half. I really can see us winning all of our remaining games. We are that team coming up on the outside, and second is a real possibility. Will Bolan, three words to sum up our final four games: keep the faith. He always says that, Will, and he was proven correct last year when we were talking about trying to get in the playoffs. Hopefully he'll be proven correct again this year. Cliff Scales does say that we can get into the top two. Keep up 98 says, why not? Why wouldn't we get into the top two? Lewis Hurst says, we've got a decent chance if we win all our remaining games, but that's a big if. There is no room for error. That is probably the case, isn't it? Because with the games in hand above us, and obviously points advantages already, there won't be much. If we won three and drew one, maybe, if there's some proper slip-ups above.
Yeah, there'd have to be proper slip-ups. I think if we win the next two, and over the Easter bank holiday weekend, then and depending on what happens elsewhere, I think Bogey's already said it, if we're within like 3 points of second place going into the last two games, I fancy us. Because I also fancy the others bottling it a little bit.
I think Sunderland's game in hand, though, is against Fleetwood, which is their penultimate game, which is the Tuesday before May the 4th.
You fancy playing Fleetwood at the moment, because they haven't got a manager already.
Yeah, their manager's like not to be on a tag by then.
Not unless they play it in front of Wormwood Scrubs.
You ever seen the film, was it Mean Machine?
Yeah, I love that film.
Allegedly. David Letchford says, it would be very nice if we could get into second, but if not, we need to come third or fourth, so we are away for the first leg of the playoffs. I mean, how does that affect... I mean, people always talk about it being an advantage. We can go to an away game, get a battling draw, come here and beat anyone. If we come to a home game on level pegging, then I'd fancy
that
us
only
to beat anyone.
It only assumes you get a battling draw. Look what Shrewsbury did to us last year. They beat us 1-0, you know, here, and that set them up for the second league. So you've got to get a positive result in the first league, if it's away from home, to make the home leg work for you. If you don't, then it doesn't matter, does it really?
I think away, the way we play as well, if we were at home first, and let's say, I don't know, we was 2-0 up, that would probably play in our favour going away, because we'd sit, they'd have to attack us, and then we'd pick them off. Mm. So I think it might actually play in our favour, but just being at home second leg, it always seems better. But that's finishing third or fourth, isn't it, I think, if you're at home second leg.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. Sarah Saunders says, I want to say we can do it, but it's going to be tight. Even if we win our next four games, it's still down to the teams above to slip up and lose points, but never say never. John says, I don't think we can do because we have to rely on three teams dropping points as well as us winning every game. Too many things will need to go our way. John there possibly being more realistic than...
maybe so, but you'd have said that, you'd have said that 4 weeks ago, wouldn't you? Yeah. And you look at the results in the last 4 weeks and they've gone exactly our way.
Pretty much. When we were 9 points off, maybe 2 weeks ago, maybe over 1 week ago, that gap has been closed very, very quickly, and teams around us have dropped points. Barnsley and Sunderland have both done it. Barnsley have only won two of the last six. I think something along those lines. Paul Quinnell says, I want to say that we will get in the top two. That Sunderland and Portsmouth game is huge now for them, and I suppose, but both of them. And us, I suppose, but both of them and Barnsley need to drop points. I don't fear anyone in the playoffs, though. Bring it on. Rob Wycon says, we can definitely do it. This is Charlton, and Lee Bowyer is our manager. Excellent point there. Ev James says, listen here, chaps, we showed how brilliant and unstoppable we are in that second half display. I always said we would be top two, and you can't... Ev's the one who's believed it all season. And the way Luton, he says, by the way, Luton might not even make top two. Let's wait and see. I'm not deluded. I'm just seeing things in the cold light of day. Keep the faith. Cappuccino says, to be honest, no, we won't get in the top two, but we will be so close and go to the playoffs with some real momentum. Ev again, I'm lucky enough to have seen our club for decades. I know when I see a great team in the making. I also have seen our great past teams dismembered. I always believe. And then he adds, this race will go to the wire. And while we are in the race, why not? Let's believe. And that's the thing, like, as long as we stay keeping pressure on them, keeping pressure on them, they're going to slip up. I mean, no one saw that 5-4 at Sunderland coming yesterday, did they?
Well, outside the top six, the form sides are, I mean, the real form sides, Oxford United haven't lost in the last five. Burton Albion haven't lost in the last five. I think the other one's Peterborough, have only lost two in the last five. So, out of the outside the top six, those three are the sides that are in form. Coventry's slightly worse, but they've only lost one. And the three sides around us have got to play each one of them.
Whew.
So, you know, yeah, of course we're clutching at straws. But, you know, look, the way I see it is that we've had such an, you know, horrible, I nearly swore then, a horrible period over the last few years. Yeah, just let's milk this, you know what I mean? Let's. Who thought we'd even have a chance of this?
That would have been classic if you swore after telling Nathan
off
earlier.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Right, Martin says, that was the most enjoyable Charlton match I've watched in a good while. Some dodgy refereeing decisions in the first half, but the lads kept their heads. Second half, we were great and deserved the 3 points, 100%. So pleased for Igor yesterday, but it was a top team effort. Stephen Saunders says, looking at the table you've shown, I think, yeah, right, okay, yeah. So I tweeted out a league table from the Charlton Live account that I quickly knocked up just before I came out, and I spelt Portsmouth wrong on it. So he says, looking at the table you've shown, I think the team in fourth will be disqualified for playing under the wrong name all season.
what did you say?
I just got the T and the S the wrong way around or something. Yeah.
Portsmouth.
Yeah, it was.
Good try then.
Anyone could have done that. Anyone could have done that. they're so irrelevant to our title, yeah. Our title bid that I don't even bother looking it up. Right, Paul Davis says, just win, win, win. That's all we have to do. Easier said than done. But even if we don't get automatic, winning still breeds winning. So it will be useful to go into the playoffs on a high. Then Mark adds as well, I would love to say yes about the top two, but I just can't see it. We will need the luck of the gods. If we can avoid Sunderland in the playoffs, that would be good though. Convinced we will make the playoff final. But after that, I don't want to predict. But he says we can do it, though. Stephen says, in case no one else mentions, we have played the team at the top of the league twice this season and won both games. Anything is possible. So you're talking about Pompey there when we went down to Fratton Park. They were top, weren't they? By quite a while. I think they were top by 7 points at that point. So they had a horrible collapse, didn't they? Either side of Christmas. But they're right back on it now. Yeah, and obviously Luton yesterday. Right, Keep Up 98 says, watched it on iFollow. And wow, that second half was the best I've seen us play in a very long time. We seem to have sorted out our flaws from the end of last season and the start of this one with the defence. Looking very solid now, not to mention how good Phillips has been. Billick being surely the best defensive midfielder in the league. Aribo and Cullen putting in worthy man of the match performances every week. And Williams also has been a huge plus since coming in. Vetekele looking like the player he was in the championship. And Lyle Taylor just being quality. Now Ross Ramsey as well on Igor. Said it was the best performance I've seen from Igor in ages. You can see it on his face how much it meant to him. If we can beat Luton, we can beat anyone. Strap yourselves in for a wild last few weeks. I mean, do you think Igor's playing for a contract? Do you think that's why he's all of a sudden started playing really well again? Or do you think it is a run of games?
How very cynical of you.
We haven't seen Igor have a run of games in that's a Charlton shirt for years. Yeah. I remember saying... because he started at Luton away, actually, didn't he? I think Carlin was off the bench, was on the bench and came off it at half-time, a minor injury, I think. And I remember saying before then, this will be interesting because this is the first time we've seen a not-injured Igor for a long time, but he still didn't get the game. So I just wonder if now this, you know, same with Naby, same with Tariq Fosu, which didn't happen this year. If you need a run of games to play yourself into form, and sometimes something just clicks after a while.
I think that's fair. And I think also, in Naby's case, I think it's a case of just getting used to the league, full stop, and getting used to the pace of the league. Second, with Igor, it's coming back from injury, not being sure you can still do it, I think, mentally as much as physically for Igor. And then just getting your chance. And like most players, you know, when you get a chance, you either take it or you don't. And I don't mean just coming in for the odd game here and there. He knows he's got a run of games. And yeah, you're probably right. He's, you know, next season, wherever we are, someone's got to make a decision. And I think he wants to stay. He's settled here. His family's here. I think he really... I think he wants to stay.
I think he'd love to stay. Yeah. We asked him after Fleetwood when he started for the first time in a while. He said he'd be happy to talk, but obviously there's...
That depends on how much he's on, of course.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he will be on a lot of money, comparatively. He signed as a big prospect in the Championship.
But also, you know, if he plays as well as he is and continues to play as well as he is, then another club who might be willing to pay him that sort of money might come sniffing as well. So yeah. Either way, he's playing for his future, I suppose. Yeah.
It's nice, isn't it, having this wonderful evening talking about how how good we are. There's a dormant volcano just behind us that's going to explode at the end of the season with contracts and all that.
Not so dormant, I don't think.
Yeah, well, smoking by now. Keep Up 98 says, P.S. Shout out to my brother Fletcher, who was one of the mascots yesterday. We would have heard him there just after the Bowyer interview with the mascot saying, there was loads of them yesterday saying you're listening to Channel 9. Yeah. Right, London Innit Geezer is going to go to the last game of the season to see if we go up second or playoffs. What a season it's been. And Alex adds, whether we creep into the top two or finish in the playoffs, the momentum is going to be huge with Igor and Lyle up top and a rock solid back five. You've got to feel we've got what is needed to get that crucial promotion. Come on, you Reds. Tim Jackson, where to start yesterday? Phillips, wonderful save at 1-0. Purrington, best game for us. Williams and Aribo everywhere. Billick won everything. Igor and Lyle linking up and scoring for fun. And the noise the covered end hasn't heard since Johnny against QPR. Perfect. And it certainly was. Dan Sheed, very arguably the greatest Charlton midfield since the Premier League days. Will be tough to replace the likes of Cullen and Billick in the middle of the park, regardless of what league we're in next season. That's certainly a good point. Right, Rob Waghorn, we definitely can do it. This is Charlton, obviously, sent that twice. Right, Nathan says, automatic promotion is still realistic, but it means nothing if Roland is still here at the club, as it will be another summer of loans and free transfers and probably a budget cut, whether we go up or not, you'd imagine, because that's the way he rocks these days. And we haven't even talked about Bowyer's contract situation yet as well, but
it involves playing the cleaners,
yeah,
getting 30 games out of the security staff.
Yeah, with their incentivized contract offer. He sounded put like, if you heard it on press, he did sound positive that he was going to be here, but until it's signed, it's like what Theresa May used to say at Brexit: nothing is agreed until everything is agreed. Until he's signed on
which
the dotted line,
agreed.
Is that what happened there? Right, Ollie says that match was up there with one of the best games in the past 5 years. I think we have a good chance of top two, as I don't see us dropping points in our final games if we play like we did yesterday. It's such a good feeling that the fans and team are pulling in the same direction. The atmosphere yesterday in and outside of the ground was amazing. If we don't get top two, I'm confident we will win the playoffs, as we have beaten every team in them. And that's a really interesting point from Ollie there, other than Sunderland at the moment, I guess. But if they get the top two, then we've beaten Barnsley, haven't we? We've beaten Portsmouth twice, beaten Doncaster at home.
But when you consider the Sunderland game up there,
we
should have
so
lost.
Close. We should have won.
The one down here
could have won.
We had chances
in the second half.
So yeah. We shouldn't be scared of anybody. Mm. So you fancy our chances against anyone. The two-leg thing always is a bit of a concern, because if you let the first one get away from you, which I don't expect, because you know the way people have already said on there in the tweets that defensively we're rock solid at the minute, so you don't expect us to concede, even if we do go a goal down. And maybe like last season where we lost that first leg at Shrewsbury, we went up to Shrewsbury, I wouldn't say fearing the worst is probably not the right, but we didn't think we were going to score
two goals
because of the forward line we had. Mm. I don't think that's the case now. No. I think we could go up to anywhere and score three or four now.
Bob Liscombe's just sent me a video of the penalty incident from behind the goal. The number five, the defender, has his hands on Taylor's back. I'm not sure about it.
The trouble is, I think because they have a dubious decision panel now. I think I mentioned
the panel that tried to ban him after Burton, so he could be out for the next game.
The same rule applies. If there's contact, then it's a case of how can you deem what contact is sufficient? Mm. Then it's a lap. So as long as there's contact, I think they won't look at it much
hopefully
further than that.
So, right. Sebo says that keeper challenge was as bad as Schumacher on Battiston at the 82 World Cup semi-final. Terry, I wasn't alive then.
Well, not quite as bad as that, because I think Battiston, he was in hospital for a fortnight.
Yeah.
I've
seen. He comes out and he just cleans him out. I've seen that.
I'll tell you what it reminded me of. Schmeichel and Kim Grant. You're probably far too long ago for you boys, but in the FA Cup game up at Old Trafford, when Schmeichel came out and took out Grant.
He got sent off, didn't he? Aware of it, but yeah.
He got sent off for it. It was almost by the halfway line when he did it.
Slightly too young. We still lost, though, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Yeah. Right, Kevin tweets in saying, as well as we played to get to 3-1 up, a huge credit to Bowyer, Jackson and the team for how they closed the game out. Huge improvement from earlier in the season where late goals cost us several times. Like we were comfortable after that, weren't we, Tony?
No. Yeah, we were. And even Mick Harford said that we had good game management, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, that's right. Yeah.
And I think, the changes they made and when they made them, it slowed the game down. And, because as a player, when you score that third goal and you've got that buzz, sometimes it can be tempting just to keep going for the jugular and to keep going and to keep going.
Mm.
But to sit there and say, no, like, literally, we've had our day now. Let's sort of make sure we get this and see it out properly. And yeah, it was great to play it out properly. And because if they scored, then it would have been a very hairy last sort of in few minutes. But no, great. It was great to see anyway. And it was fairly comfortable in the end.
Yeah, right. Tom Elephant says, hello, lads. I hope we can get to the top two, but my son will not go near Wembley until we play there. So selfishly, just for him, let's do the playoffs again, just like 1998 and all that. I mean, I don't know if my... I'm older than I was in 1998. I don't know if my heart could take it these days, but we'll see.
It's all right, it's easy for you to say.
Yeah. Darren Ellis says, one of the best I've seen in recent years. I thought we did okay in the first half, but Luton looked very dangerous going forward. Second half, we were dominant and got what we deserved, 3 points, and Luton didn't know what had hit them. What an atmosphere, he says. I loved it. And then 100% Charlton is going to get my juices flowing here, because it says, just imagine the feeling if we beat Rochdale at home, last home game, and that gets us promotion. The Valley would be a magical place. Believe, we can do this. We can do this. Yeah. My juices are flowing. Right, we still got your emails and your forum posts to come as well. But yesterday was a very special day here at the Valley. One of the best days in the Charlton calendar, the Upbeats Day. It started off with the Upbeats walk from the training ground, or the rugby club next door to the training ground. 9 miles. We sort of snaked. We did a lap of Avery Hill Park. Then I don't really know Elton or that sort of area that well, but we ended up at Shooters Hill somehow. Yeah. And then we came down Shooters Hill, walked down, got to...
I take it you were following, not leading.
Yeah, yeah. luckily, Bob Boulder was in charge there. If it was up to me, we would have ended up probably just doing laps of Avery Hill for about 2 hours. But there we go. So, yeah, yesterday, a few of us did the walk. Myself, Stubbers from the commentary team, of course, Nathan, Tom. Terry, you were there at the start enjoying the...
I was helping out with the...
Couldn't
quite make the walk this year, but I'm going to make sure I'm there next year.
Yeah,
got dodging your meniscals, isn't there?
I've got my meniscals.
He's made up a word. He's made it more difficult enough that none of us could try and Google it to find out if it's a real thing, but he couldn't do it. So anyway, the rest of us did do the walk, and made a little diary for you. We'll come back to the rest of your comments about yesterday's game after we hear our diary of the Upbeats Walk. Terry, here at the start of the Upbeats Walk, you're crying off this year with some sort of imaginary injury.
I'm trying to think of as many injuries as I can muster, and I think I've got the good one, so yeah, I'm all right. I'm gutted, I'm genuinely gutted.
You've been here at the start, just as the legends have been introduced in the Upbeats as well, and community spirit coming through already.
Oh, superb. They've got 200 plus, I think, here today, which is the most we've ever had at the Upbeats Walk. It's fantastic to see, I think. The amount of money they're going to raise, because it's all the Upbeats are funded entirely by donations. It's just superb. Excellent. And everybody's enjoying it, and that's the main thing.
Yeah. And the snow has stopped, which is good. Yeah.
We've had everything this morning. We've had sunshine, hail, snow. Only three hailstorms on the way, I think. I'll be in the car, I'll be fine.
Excellent. Right, I'm going to have to run and catch up with the rest of them.
Start jogging.
So here we are, just set off from Footscray Rugby Club, Stubbers. First mile, easy so far.
Have you done a mile?
I don't know, how far is this?
Oh, it's pretty impressive we've done a mile. Yeah, it's easy going so far. One less mile than last year, which is good news, very good news, especially for us who have to actually do some work after this as well. Some of these get to have some food, get to have a beer and all that. No, we've got a struggle.
Yeah, we've got a graft. I know, obviously it's an arduous 9 mile walk anyway, but with Nathan next year, does that make it even worse?
It makes it a lot longer. No, joking. Nath's good as gold, isn't he? Look at him. Yeah, no, it's fine. Nath will keep us entertained, I'm sure. And got Tom as well, which is good news. So a good turnout from the Charlton Live crew. So yeah, I'm really excited for the rest of the 8.5 miles.
Tom, this past 7, Drew Castle, the halfway point. How are your feet?
Feet all right. Knees are a bit sore.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's all right.
Enjoyed the walk.
Weather's perked up a bit, and it was important.
Well, the snow stopped, which was the main thing.
Yeah, true. And Nate stopped singing for a little bit as well. So
yeah, what sort of songs was he singing? And was he doing any pelvic dancing?
I mean, you can hear it there. Phil Collins, a lot of Phil Collins.
a bit of Michael Jackson, yeah, and some dance moves as well. So that's been a bit annoying. But now, to be fair, that's kept me going because I'm knackered. So
yeah. Well, obviously, the sooner you finish, the sooner you don't have to listen to anymore.
Exactly, and that's exactly why I don't sit next to him at the game. So yeah.
But are you enjoying it overall?
Yeah, it's always good fun. I think third year I've done it, and obviously for such a good cause. So a lot of people out, which is good. Like I say, weather's improved. New route this year as well, and yeah, it's good.
Here we go, Nate. I think we're on the home straight now. How's everything holding up? Everything's still in the right place?
My knee's in a bit of pain, but you know, nothing for a good cause, innit. So I'll rest up tonight, have a cheeky curry or something, and then it should be all right after a couple of beers.
Excellent. Now, and you've been giving us your full playbook of songs on the way around as well, and a little bit of dancing. Is that what keeps you going through the day?
Yeah, it's like a bit of Phil Collins. No one can beat a bit of Phil Collins, can they? And there's this new tune, all the other boys are singing it now, so they'll be downloading it. But I won't go on too much, I'll be getting some royalties otherwise. But yeah, no, it just gets you by. You can't really do it in silence. It's a bit boring otherwise, but I'll just try to keep spirits sandwich, okay? Yeah.
You've enjoyed the day all together?
Yeah, well, it started snowing, didn't it, at the beginning? And I was thinking, oh no, I've done it wrong in here, but it's turned out to be all right. It's dry at the moment. Looking forward to obviously the lads playing Derby. Hopefully a nice, comfortable win for the lads, because I know they're obviously smashing everything else at the moment, so should be good.
And here we are, pitch side at the Valley. We've done it, 9 miles, it rained, it was sunny, it was hard. By the time we got there,
Yes, we made it, and all worth it, of course. Weather weren't that great, but the route was a lot better, and obviously a little bit shorter than last year, which helped. But yeah, good fun, another day done, and on to next year's now.
Nathan, standing here on the hallowed turf at the Valley, or just off it if anyone asks, if Nathan asks.
I've got one,
the
groundsman. I've got one on it. Yeah.
but it's a just reward for making that sacrifice of walking all this way.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It was tough at some points, but it's a cause that it's for, and it's a great cause, and obviously I don't know what the final total is, but a lot of money raised for a cause that, you know, has to rely on self-funding, and it's been a great day, and a lot of people have turned up, and you get a little perk at the end of our pitch side.
Yeah, of course, we're here, but it's not over just yet, because we've still got the excitement of the upbeats coming to play, so it's...
Yeah, we can't wait for that. It's one of the highlights of Canada every year. The upbeats day itself is not only the walk, but getting to watch them play on the Valley and see how much it means to them, and it just goes to show what an important day today is, and everyone getting together like this is why we support Charlton, this is why Charlton is such a special club, and to be involved in things like this is just it's incredible, and I can't wait for next year as well. And every year gets better and better.
Terry, end of the upbeats walk, we've all made it in one piece, thankfully, and it's been another successful day.
Yeah, brilliant turnout from the fans again, and the public, just showing how important the upbeats is to the trust.
And of course, we've still got the excitement of the game to come as well, and the upbeats in great form as they always are, so it should be another decent performance.
Yeah, definitely, we've got Derby, DS team and Sutton Pan disability team today. So try and come out and watch these games if you can. 1:30, be great games to watch.
And of course, as we know, the upbeats, they keep running for the donations of the supporters. So anyone who is yet to donate for anyone for a walk, it would be great if they could add a little bit more into the kitty today.
Yeah, as you can see, it's a great cause, and it's totally dependent on fundraising. So any help matters, any help really matters in keeping the project going.
There we go. That was Terry Pertz from the Charlton Athletic Community Trust. They're ending the diary of our trip. He helps to run the upbeats. And as he mentioned there, they rely completely on the donations from supporters. They started off with a grant about 11 years ago, I think they were saying, from ITV that they won.
Yeah.
And since then, it's run by the supporters. And anyone who was in early enough to watch the game yesterday, we'll see how important it is to those lads who got involved. Now, they played twice. They were playing Sutton. The game did have to be abandoned due to an injury to one of the Sutton players, but the player was fine afterwards and did take part in the
the lap around the pitch after.
It's a scary thing.
Yeah, anyone who saw that and was worried, no need to worry. The player was fine. I think the Upbeats were 1-0 up at that point. And then they played Derby after. Last I heard it was 3-0, I think. But I don't know if that's how it ended because I had to dash upstairs. But yeah, a brilliant day and a brilliant course. So if you can dig out some money for the Upbeats, keep the lads going. That'd be great. They play some lovely stuff as well. There's a couple of flicks that wouldn't have looked out of place in the first team yesterday, and triangle passing and stuff is lovely. Right, we've got a crack on. Mendonca and Asters on the Charlton Life Forum. Louis, that was an amazing team performance yesterday. Second half is the best I've seen us play all season. If we can play like that till the last ball is kicked, hopefully not Christian Billick's promotion, promotion will be achievable. Forget asking Lee Bowyer about his contract situation. Oh, here we go. Has Christian Billick got any balls left? It's almost like the opposition are targeting him. He taking one for the team. To a whole new level.
I think that's the style of player he is, though. And he's.
I mean, come on.
I'm talking about he's got that language style, and he waits for players to commit to a tackle and then try and rides it.
And then they commit to his tackle.
He's always likely to get caught in some area or another.
Right, Coop says, hi, Louise and team. I've got a couple
Louise.
Of those today. I think we're going to fall just short of second place, but hope I'm wrong. Fancy us to win the playoffs, though. Thought yesterday, second half was the best I've seen us play at home this season. Luton just could not cope with us. Best wishes. That's Gary Cooper from Withershire. Coops, thanks for getting involved. Rudders 22. I have missed the last few home games as I've had a hip replacement up.
Ooh.
Oh well, I hope you're right, Rudders. Hope you're getting on the mend. It says I've ruled myself out of being able to go again until next season. Watching the scores coming in is frustrating but exciting. Sunderland's game in hand is Pompey. However, I can't see Barnsley losing any of their games. They're at home to Shrewsbury, away to Plymouth, home to Blackpool, and Bristol Rovers away. And as you know, we need in effect 4 points to overtake Barnsley, so Barnsley have to drop 4 points, which I can't see. This is why it's so frustrating that our owner won't invest, as we could have got to the top two if he had. Hopefully I will be back for the last game of the season. Yeah, I ain't got time to go too much into this, but one of my theories about how Roland has held us back this year, if you think about it, there's been two stages of the season where we haven't been that good, and that's the first five games. I think we won one in our first five games where we were still waiting to put a squad together because we weren't able to go out and buy players early because we didn't have the money to do it. And then just after Carlin left, when Taylor was still suspended and we didn't replace Carlin properly. So they're the two stages where if Roland had acted differently, we'd be in the top two, we'd be a point behind Luton.
And if Roland acted differently, arguably we wouldn't have lost Carlin in the first place.
Mm.
So
but even if he didn't, even if we had to lose him because Carlin wanted to go, replace him.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah. No.
And that's what we're saying.
No argument here.
Yeah, Rudders also adds, playoff as it seems, do we have a better squad equipped this year than last year? I think we do, personally. The only concern is that we can't afford to concede goals, as Pompey, Sunderland are good and at scoring 4 or 5. But then Sunderland's defence yesterday was shocking. A lot of Sunderland's goals were in the 6-yard box, so if our defenders can keep them out, we don't know.
I think what's key for Sunderland is they've had McGeady out injured for the last two or three.
Yeah.
He came back off the bench yesterday but couldn't turn it around. So if he's fit for the final run in, they are still going to be a side to be reckoned with.
Fun Bluff said that they didn't go yesterday. Roland out. Covered End says, hi, Louise, just with a smiley face. Yorkshire Addict says, was that the best performance since the Premiership days? Well, it may well be up there in terms of the quality of the opposition we had to play against and the level that we're at. It was certainly one of the most exciting games we've seen for a while. Right, Phil on DM says, hi guys, wow, what a decent first after a decent first half. Whatever Bowyer did at half time, it certainly worked. I completely lost it when the third goal went in, hugging anyone I could find. Hard to pick a man of the match, but special mention to Igor. He's finally back to the form he showed when we signed him. So pleased for the guys, and he's still daring to dream. That's Phil from Eltham. Cheers for your tweet, Phil. We may well have walked past your house yesterday, for all I know, but apparently we're in the Eltham area at one point, so there we go. Right, Steve Steve Towner. Guys, just a quick one. I am blown away by how well Bowyer and Jacko are doing, creating such a positive vibe around the club, despite all that is hanging over us with the owner. They deserve huge credit, as everything they are achieving is in spite of the owner, not because of the owner, and that creates a tougher position from which to operate. There is just so much potential that could be rapidly unlocked in the right environment. We have to hope that Roland goes very soon. Keep it up, boys. That's from Steve. Interesting, again, and I'm only going to explain this briefly, but I went back on Radio London this afternoon just to talk about Charlton, because obviously we're a talking point now. And the presenter asked me, he just looked at the crowd, like he sort of talked about the crowd figure yesterday and he's seeing how well we're playing. He sort of said, it was a question, but needed an answer because he didn't know. He said, are people coming back round to Roland? And it's amazing people don't see from the outside that everything that's happened this season is in spite of Roland's best efforts, it would seem, to try and derail us. I mean, obviously he's not doing it on purpose as such, but he's not helping in any way. Which is crazy, right? Matt Brown. Hi, guys. After the game yesterday and the Sunderland result, top two is definitely still on the cards. Our games appear to be in our favour, especially given our run of form. The only issue I do have is that normally we'd go to somewhere like Oxford or Gillingham and expect to win and then come away with a disappointing point, and we really can't afford to let that happen. Thankfully, Boya seems to have changed that, though, and realistically, I'm not convinced we'll drop any points for our remaining games, especially at home, and that's what we need to do, and that is, I mean, it's close. I think we can do it. Right, Tom Ridgen, it will be tight, but not impossible. We will rely on some teams above us to slip up, but that is bound to happen. Hopefully it's Sunderland after their slip up this weekend. I mean, obviously, yeah, we need all three of them to slip up is the only thing, but pressure shows. And like I say, Barnsley haven't had the best run recently. They got a good win yesterday before that incident with Joey Barton. The pressure will tell at some point, and let's see. Right, we've got a final email that's come in from David Todman. Hi, guys. My daughter and I were on the train down from Waterloo and listening to the Luton fans. It was a done deal and three easy points. Apparently, our performance was a very good one. We did get caught out to the ball down the channel for their first, though. But Igor was immense. Grant who? Billick and Cullen looked Premiership players, and Taylor frightened them as well. How their keeper was not red carded for the lunge at Igor, I don't know, but great atmosphere, enjoyable football is back at the Valley, and that's the way we like to see it. Right, we're just coming to the end of the show. Just a quick note, obviously next weekend is Easter weekend, which means we've got the two games. We're playing Friday, then we're playing Friday, Monday. So there will be a big match preview on Thursday evening. Tom and Nath are doing it. I'm popping away for a few days before I'm coming back for the Oxford game on Friday. So there will be a show on Thursday. Easter Sunday, traditionally, we don't do a show. It's a family time. And, of course, we've got a game the next day, so it's out of date immediately. So there's no live show next Sunday, but there will be a mini podcast coming out on Sunday morning that I'll stick out. They'll have all the reaction to the game at Oxford United. So look out on your podcast feeds on Easter Sunday morning. If you're not going to Mass or something, just listen to podcasts. Or if you do go to Mass, stick one headphone in, pay half attention to
for
God,
your sins,
one with us. Yeah, so yeah, that'd be good as well. Huge couple of games coming up here, Terry. If we get 6 points out of that weekend.
I mean, yeah, talk to me again after the Easter weekend, because, yeah, it could be huge. Absolutely. You know, if people are excited now, if a couple of the other teams drop points and we win two on the bounce, just imagine what the atmosphere is going to be like next time.
Yeah, certainly. I'm looking forward to it. Don't forget also at the Scunthorpe game next Monday here, you can have the PSA testing, prostate cancer testing. Important that you do that if you're of the age that you need to have that done. I think it'll be in the fans bar, possibly, or in the fans bar, so that'd be worth doing. I know, at least personally, I know one person last year who got tested, found something, got it sorted, it's fine now. So if you get it tested, more than likely you'll be able to get it sorted as well, so make sure you do that. Right, we have come to the end of this evening's show. It's flown by because it's great to talk about a win, really, isn't it? So thank you for joining us here on Charlton Live, and of course on Maritime Radio. We've gone out on air today in the local area on 96.5 FM. So make sure if you want, you can start listening to us via that every Sunday, which looking forward to. Right, Terry and Nathan. Terry, thanks for coming in.
Appreciate it. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, and Nathan, it's good to see you despite your hangover.
I'm not hungover. Yeah, I'm really. No, yeah. Cheers, mate. Thanks. Yeah, right. Have a good holiday, mate.
Oh, cheers. I'm only going up north, so you won't get too excited.
Commiserations.
Sorry to anybody listening from up north. It's a lovely place.
Yeah. No, I'm going to the northeast. I'm going to Alnwick, and it is really nice up there. So I'm looking forward to it.
Don't you need a shovel, mate? Keep digging.
Right, I've been the Remender. No, I should have given a fake name there, actually, shouldn't I? I've been Tom Louise. Wallin. Yeah, thanks for listening to the show. I hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be back here on Thursday with a big match preview, looking ahead to the remainder of our charge towards automatic promotion. See you later. Charles and Life.